So it's Saturday the 21st of December. I wonder what you've been doing today prior to coming to this carol service. Perhaps you've been just relaxing at home with the Christmas lights on and seasonal tunes playing gently in the background and a contented smile on your face. Perhaps that's how you've spent the day. Or perhaps you've been rushing around like a headless chicken buying Christmas presents. Well, even if that isn't the case, even if you haven't been rushing around like a headless chicken buying presents, I'm sure that most of you will be able to relate to what I'm talking about. I'm sure that many of you will know something, at least, of the experience of Christmas shopping as a frenzied and stress-inducing activity. I read one article the other day in which the writer had this conversation with himself. "This year, it's all going to be different. I'm going to do careful research and find out what everyone really wants. I'm going to order everything online weeks in advance. I'm totally on top of it. I'm going to source those hand-woven Scandinavian mini tank tops for my brother's twin boys, and it'll all be delivered to my door, and I can sit sipping Pinot Noir and eating a nice aged brie while wrapping all those lovely presents in front of a roaring fire. Oh yeah," he continues, "then let me ask you this. What the dickens are you doing standing on Oxford Street at 5:30 on Christmas Eve? And you're not exactly standing there, are you? You're fleeing from shop to shop, from counter to counter, like a supermarket sweep contestant. You're sweating, and you seem to be picking up objects at random and throwing them into your basket while screaming, 'That'll do!' You've done it again, haven't you? You've let that Christmas shopping list fester in the back of your mind all the way to the 11th hour and beyond." Another article I saw commented that gift angst hangs over the month of December like a black cloud. What may surprise you, however, is that even back in the 1950s, the great C.S. Lewis wrote about a similar phenomenon. He wrote this. He said that three things go by the name of Christmas. One is a religious festival. The second is a popular holiday, an occasion for merrymaking and hospitality. The third is the commercial racket. And let me just read to you some of the reasons why he so much disliked this third aspect. Number one, he says it gives on the whole much more pain than pleasure. Long before the 25th of December, everyone is worn out. Physically worn out by weeks of daily struggle in overcrowded shops, mentally worn out by the effort to remember all the right recipients and to think out suitable gifts for them. They're in no trim for merrymaking, much less for any kind of religious act. They look far more as if there had been a long illness in the house. Number two, most of it is involuntary. Who has not heard the wail of despair and indeed of resentment when at the last moment, just as everyone hoped that the nuisance was over for one more year, the unwanted gift from Mrs. Busy flops unwelcome through the letterbox and back to the dreadful shops one of us has to go. And then number three, things are given as presents which no mortal ever bought for himself. Gaudy and useless gadgets, novelties, because no one was ever fool enough to make their like before. And it's that second point and that idea then of suddenly having to rush out to the shops again because Mrs. Busy has caught you out by delivering a late present. It's that I find particularly interesting. It suggests, doesn't it, that one of the factors behind the frantic rat race of Christmas shopping, one of the factors is then this kind of impulse that I must have a present for person A and person B and person C because persons A, B and C will have a present for me and their gifts must be reciprocated. And I can't possibly find myself in that most terrible of positions where I've received a gift from somebody and I don't give them a gift in return. It's true, isn't it, that there is that impulse often driving so much of the whole thing. We like to receive freebies when it comes to large impersonal organisations. We scour the shelves of Tesco's and Sainsbury's for the best bargains. If there's some free samples of cheese on the cheese counter, we devour them even if we don't particularly like cheese. And that's what we're like when it comes to large impersonal organizations. But when it comes to personal relationships, people we know and have some kind of relationship with, then as adults at least, perhaps not so much as children, but as adults at least, we find it hard to receive a gift without giving one in return. And, you know, I think that aversion then to receiving without giving, it manifests itself actually beyond the realm of Christmas shopping. You see, the Bible tells us that that baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago was a gift. Not just that he was brought gifts by those wise men from those distant lands, we all know about that, but that Jesus was himself a gift from God. And not one of those gimmicky, useless gifts that C.S. Lewis talked about, but this gift had a purpose. This gift would do something. Something wonderful, something fantastic, something truly priceless. This gift, if received, would get us to heaven. This gift, if received, would bring our ransomed souls at last where they need no star to guide. But, sadly, in the face of this gift, this human characteristic that I've just been talking about so often kicks in. We don't want to get to heaven through receiving. We want to get to heaven through giving, don't we? We want to be able to stand one day before God and present to him all these kind acts and noble deeds that we've performed throughout our lives, and see the impressed look on his face, and watch him eagerly throw open the gates of heaven to us. That's what we want. And so we live accordingly. And we find that it's an absolute nightmare. And our whole lives become like that Christmas Eve shopping frenzy on Oxford Street. Only instead of "Have I spent enough on great Auntie Mildred's present? Will she be pleased with it?" it's "Have I done enough to get to heaven? Will God be pleased with my life?" We're haunted, we're plagued by those kinds of thoughts. And we charge through the aisles of our life, kind of chucking a bit of religion here, a bit of charity there, into the shopping trolley, desperately hoping that when we finally reach the till, when we finally stand before God, we'll have done enough. I wonder whether that's how you're living your life this afternoon. Well, the Bible has bad news and good news for you. The bad news is that nobody can possibly get into heaven by what they give to God. No matter how high you stack your trolley with good behavior and zealous religion, it won't work. The Bible is absolutely clear about that. The good news is you don't have to go down that route. The good news is that you can simply take this gift which God gave at Bethlehem. You can simply receive Jesus, and he will get you to heaven. One of the great sayings that we have from Jesus recorded in the Gospels is this. He once said, come to me, and I will give you rest. In other words, come to me, and you can park that shopping trolley with all its good deeds in it, and you can walk right out of the supermarket, and you can stop being plagued and haunted by the terrible burden of having to impress God, because I will make sure you get to heaven. I will live the perfect life you cannot live. I will die to pay for all the wrong things in your life, and I will do everything that's needed to get you into heaven. Some of you may be aware of the Austin Project. Several contemporary writers, Joanna Trollope and Alexander McCall Smith, bizarrely enough, and a few other writers as well, are in the process right now of rewriting some of Jane Austen's books. Now, I'm not a writer, and I don't have any desire whatsoever to rewrite any of Jane Austen's books, but there is one Christmas carol, one verse of which I wouldn't mind having a go at. It's the carol in the bleak midwinter, and it's the final verse. And as some of you may know, the final verse goes like this. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him, give my heart. Now, I haven't thought through the form of this, the poetry, but in terms of the substance, I would like to change it to something like this. What can I give him, poor as I am? It's an irrelevant question, because I don't need to give him anything. All I need to do is receive him as the gift that God has given me in order that I might get to heaven. And my question to you this afternoon as we close is, will you do that? Will you lay down all your attempts to get to heaven through giving to God? I know it's deeply engraven within our instincts, isn't it, to do that? But will you stop the frantic rush, the frenzy of trying to achieve heaven yourself? And will you receive this gift? You might not want to apply the principles I've been talking about this afternoon in the realm of Christmas shopping. That doesn't matter. But will you apply it in this more important realm of winning God's approval and gaining entry into heaven? Forget giving. Receive. Receive the gift that God has given for you, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And simply by receiving Him, then you will win God's approval and will one day be admitted by Him to heaven. Amen.